sent your Son to die on the cross for each and every one of our sins. Sinner and saved alike, from the end of time to the from the beginning of time to the end of time, all souls. Trying to save, trying to reach each and every soul for the kingdom. We pray that you'd help us understand your purposes in our life each and every day. Give us wisdom, give us direction, give us strength, give us health. I thank you for the simple decision of even the song this evening that fits tonight. I thank you for that as well. I thank you for this lesson that you've given. I pray that you use me as a vessel for your truth and only your truth. And just like each and every one of us here, as we go outside, we walk outside these doors, work, home, school, wherever we may be, wherever folks may go, mall, that we'd be vessels for your truth, to spread your truth and only your truth to the world, those that need it, those that are looking for it, those that are in desperate need, that are searching for the truth, the absolute truth, which is none other than Jesus Christ. We pray that we point them in the right direction, the correct direction. And I thank you for, again, for the strength, the health, and the wisdom to live each day. We get through it, get us through each day and every day. I pray the hearts will be receptive this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, Proverbs 3 is what we're gonna study tonight. It was kind of funny when it says, "I love you more than gold or silver." I mean, when it talks about when we talk about as we look through this Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about the same to seek wisdom as fine gold and silver. Is if we'd search for gold and silver. Right. Also, the wisdom bestows well-being. That's the title that I give that I had given this lesson. And I mean, if you look, you can look all through Proverbs, James, just like we did on Wednesday. I mean, as far as seek after wisdom and seek it, each one of us, each and every day, it's a different aspect. It's a different discipline that we have to go through when we look, as we seek for the wisdom and direction in our life, or his purposes in our life, whatever they may be. It's we're constantly looking. It's constantly an educating process. But who likes to live a healthy, strong, peaceful life? Who likes to get out of bed in the morning and put their feet on the floor and feel like they feel strong enough, feel healthy enough to take on the day? Anybody? I think we're all there. So it's the same as who wouldn't like a long, healthy, and prosperous life? You could ask that question too. I think we could all raise our hands. It's phenomenal. Sounds phenomenal, doesn't it? Sounds like even a dream come true if we can just do that one day out of the week, aside from Mondays before we go to work or anything else. And maybe even seems out of reach sometime in today's society and day and age. Maybe even impossible as well, some might say. But if you believe that God is who he says he is and does what he says he'll do, we're going to take a look at Proverbs 3 tonight and see what he says he will do for us if we seek this wisdom as fine gold or silver. We're going to see how that wisdom he offers can bestow a long, healthy, prosperous life for each and every one of us. Now, Proverbs 3, it's a long chapter in and of itself, but if you look closely at it, or doesn't matter if you look at Proverbs 3, 4, if you're looking at Mark, Luke, Acts, Romans, if you're taking the entire Bible itself, you'll find verses numbered. We're going to forget the numbers, if you will, but look closer, if you could, see as you read, see if you can see the patterns as you read, as it separates into patterns of segments. You see, all life has patterns to it, whether it be nature, math, science, history, human civilization, numbers, languages, music, and the list goes on. There are patterns to all life. Even when God took the time to create our world and everything in it in the beginning, he still did so methodically with purpose, which created patterns. it helps us study. It says, so when you read the Bible, as I try to see the patterns that stand out. For example, simple patterns, I mean, you look at even chapter 3, I mean, verses 1 and 2 are section 3 and 4, 5 and 6. Sometimes even as you go down to 13, sometimes 13 through 18 is another complete thought. It's sometimes, but each there's a pattern to everything. It's somewhere sort of like a basic English lesson. And I really didn't care for English too well. Coming up myself, I'll tell you that. I don't know how. Does anybody like English? Okay, I'm out. I'm outnumbered here. Okay. Well, I liked history. I like math and sciences. But anyhow. But years past, I taught GED for a few years, and folks, when I was down south, and I guess I had come to learn. I mean, learn to like. At least like it, if not, not so much love it, but still not one of my favorites still, but I enjoy it more so than before. But if you talk to many others, you'll see or hear English may have been given a definition of a necessary evil, if you will. You can take that then however you'd like to in today's society, but they've sort of butchered the English language in general, I guess you'd say. I mean, the definition, just a simple examples. I mean, you look at definitions when we were growing up. The simple, not to get political or anything, but the word gay did not mean anything, had nothing to do with homosexual whatsoever. It meant bright, cheery, fun, things like that. But they butchered it. I mean, needless to say, down through the years. And it's amazing, sad, even really, that this last generation can actually string together a correct sentence in any context whatsoever, if you take time. But I digress. That horse has been kicked long enough. But we're gonna dig into Proverbs chapter 3 and see how God's wisdom bestows well-being in each and every one of our lives, if you would. Starting with 1 and 2. See what I'm talking about. 1 and 2, you see how it's a complete thought. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The whole lesson probably could, I mean, just for those two verses alone, we could end it right there, I guess. But it's a pattern. It's a choice. My son, forget not my law, but keep thine heart, let thine heart keep my commandments. That's another argument in today's day and age. You'll hear folks say, even some Christians will say that the Ten Commandments have no meaning in today's day and age. That's Old Testament. You'll hear them say that's Old Testament. It means nothing for New Testament or anything. But you'll see throughout the pages, you'll hear them say, it says, let thine heart keep my commandments throughout the pages. It says, keep my commands in your heart. You'll hear that down through the pages. It doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or if it's New Testament. Either one. Many, many different examples and cases to prove that the Ten Commandments do exist, that they are relevant in today's day in society. Thank you. I appreciate that book that I had gotten, the Ten Commandments, the relevancy of the Ten Commandments also in today's day and age, that I had gotten off of Linda. That's a wonderful study as well. But if you look at 3 and 4, we're going to move on to 3 and 4. It's, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, if you look not only just a pattern, like I was talking about, 1 and 2 fit together, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, if you're starting to see the pattern evolving from this, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What's that sound to you like it's an association with? We're talking about bind them around thy neck. When we're talking about bodies, we're talking about crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Any takers? Putting on the whole armor of God. That's exactly. We're talking. You'll see as we go down verse for verse throughout this that's the pattern that shows up. You'll start seeing the pattern that shows up. It refers to putting on the whole armor of God. You don't need commentaries. You don't need Bible commentaries. If you ask him for wisdom to study when you're studying, whatever chapter, whatever book you're studying, it helps. He gives you the understanding and the wisdom you need to understand where this is coming from and where it's going to go, where he's heading with it. But it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now we're going to go on to the next pattern, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Pretty much straightforward. It has trust. It talks about trust in the Lord. And if you want to look at another pattern as we go down through here, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understandings. You're going to start to see another pattern emerge from it. We all know is free will, choice. He's not telling us, he's not ordering, he's not holding a baseball bat over our head telling us to do it or else. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep mine commandments." Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." If you look at 7 and 8, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Once again, it's choice. There's many, many lessons we have here aside from the armor of God to free will. The freedom of choice, and reliance on the promises that God gives each one of us as Christians. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." If Sue was here, I think she would tell you, explain the importance of marrow to the bones. She would have a definite testimony for that. It's along the lines of the health as well, like I was talking about, of well-being, to establish well-being. 9 and 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Obviously, we're looking at offering the gift of talking about is offering what Christ deserves and the gifts on top of it all that we offer as well. But if you look from one to the next, like I said, it says, "My son, forget not my law, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." And then 4, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." It's all favorable, everything that you look. It's the other side of the promise that he's giving us down through this chapter. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now 11 and 12, he deals with discipline. He said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And I can pretty much tell with the group, I can say that we all know what discipline is around here. And sometimes we may have even experienced that when we decide to take off our own ways. And some of us a little bit more hard-headed than others, me being number one. And it's just that much harder to come back. The fact is, he's going to bring you back, no matter what. Well, you can walk away as far as you want. I mean, you can stray as far and as long as you want, but it's going to hurt. The further you get, it's going to hurt to come back, because he is going to discipline you, just like a father would discipline his sons, daughters, to bring them back into the fold. Now, 13. If we're looking for 13, 13 through 20 is the next full pattern here that we see is, as happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. There's a lot of info there. It's what I was talking about before. Whenever he, even if you look at the pattern, even if you look at when he created our world, created the heavens, created the earth, the animals, the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, man created the humans. It was done with a method, with a purpose in mind, which creates patterns all through life. That's the beginning. That was the very start of the initial patterns that you see that down through the book itself. But as again, like I said, look for it. Then the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof, and fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, I have a pretty good imagination, and there's a lot of things that I can desire that we probably shouldn't have, whether it be cars, houses, whatever it may be, fast cars, along those lines. But we all have good imaginations, I imagine, I'm pretty sure, as well as children do. And we can imagine a lot. And it says here, it says that she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. There's no comparison. There's absolutely none whatsoever when we're talking about wisdom, when we're seeking wisdom and understanding. Length of days is in her right hand. Again, once back to her, we're going back to the body of Christ. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. And automatically, I'm thinking about the armor of God again. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wouldn't it be a simple fact if our leaders could understand just even that verse alone? I mean, get it through their heads. I mean, not just our leaders. We're talking about kings, queens around the world, the nations, the countries around the world. Just that verse alone. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. We wouldn't have this problem in Israel right now with Israel. They wouldn't be having this problem. Russia wouldn't be having this problem with Israel. But once again, the pattern of free will, like we had talked about before. You see, we are all born into sin, and free will is kind of, I kind of call it the catch-22 maybe, but we're all born into sin considering the fact that we know the decisions that we are most likely going to make before we become saved, before we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now the next grouping, which starts in 21 and moves from there. It says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Once again, we're talking about the soul, we're talking about the body of Christ, we're talking about the armor of God that protects us each and every day. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to the neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. How many of us would like to have a solid 8 hours sleep, uninterrupted sleep at night? I would say amen to that. I would, that would be nice, an uninterrupted sleep completely. But obviously, life has a tendency to kick in, and the choices we make have a tendency to affect us that we can't stop thinking of. Our minds just can't stop thinking. It's a constant over and over and over, and we can't have I have a problem shutting my mind off. I mean, when I lay down, I mean, that's the way it goes. It just keeps going and going and going, and that's usually wind up about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, if that, but up and down all night long. But he said, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. If we back it up a little bit to look at 25, it says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Sudden fear, I mean, if you look at a lot of folks, I mean, the fear, you call it fear of the unknown. I mean, I guess that would be a general term. A lot of people have a lot of fear about a lot of things. I mean, some people about the way the world's going today. Some people have a simple fear of just going to bed at night because they're not afraid. They're afraid when they wake, if they wake up, or if they don't wake up, they are not exactly sure where they're going to be going. That's about the easiest way I found when I talked to the guys and some other folks. Just a simple conversation starter about sleep. I mean, when we start talking about sleep, how good you sleep, you get a whole full night of sleep. I mean, why? I mean, you have a fear. Is there a fear of when you go to sleep? Do you have fears when you go to sleep of the unknown or what could happen, what may happen? The answers you get will pretty much tell you, direct you in the way in which, where they're leaning and what they lean toward, if they're saved, if they're not saved. The answer they give you will tell you whether or not they're saved, if they're afraid. I mean, if they're afraid of the unknown, if they're afraid to go to sleep. But there can also be other factors that factor into that. But it's a good discussion starter. I mean, in the process of talking to some. If you look at 27, it says, withhold not good from them who it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. Now we're talking about our next door, our neighbors. I mean, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, if you already have it. I mean, there are folks, I remember the time that when they ask for sugar, if they come by and ask for sugar, other things like that. I mean, most folks have sugar, flour, things like that to give. But what they're talking about here is, he said, don't say to your neighbor, say, go and come again tomorrow. I will give it to you when you have it right now. We're talking about salvation and pure and simple. I mean, you don't tell them to go their own way. I'll give it to you. I'll give you something tomorrow. I'll give you some information or some help or some knowledge tomorrow when there may not be a tomorrow for them or yourself, for that matter. You never know. You don't know for a fact if you're going to see tomorrow, if that next-door neighbor you're talking to that needs Christ or needs a helping hand or needs maybe some knowledge that you have and may help them get through a day because of the decision they have to make with their child, or because they got a phone call from a doctor, or whatever it may be. They may be hurting. They're hurting in some way, and they came to you and ask you simply for help in one way or another. But just don't tell them to go and come again tomorrow when you have it, or when you have the information that they need, that they're looking for, whether it be salvation, whether it be just something, a helping hand to help them out, if they need some help. When you can do it, when you already have power to do it. Now, if you look at 30, it says, strive not with a man without cause, if he has done thee no harm. I've read some other interpretations that don't accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. But in a sense, it stands for the same thing. When you're talking, how many times have you seen people even today's, whether or not you watch the news, whether or not you go to work, you hear people getting accused for no reason whatsoever. They've done the person no harm, but still people are throwing accusations around like they're going out of style, like they ain't got nothing better to do. Lawsuits or whatever it may be. And it's happening on a regular basis, on a steady basis out there, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, no matter whose life you look at, saved, unsaved. I mean, that's a simple fact. It said, and now if you look at 31, it says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. The oppressor, I mean, sometimes our children have mentors they look up to. They have role models. But in today's world, in today's society, day and age, those role models have gotten kind of skewed. I mean, you remember whenever we were growing up, I mean, children would aspire. They'd want to be an astronaut, doctors, lawyers, stuff like that. But it's changed. And it's changed in an oppressive way, a demented way, in a sense. But these people that they're imitating and using as role models. And it's just not a pretty sight. That's why I say pray for our elementary, the school students, the elementary, high school, college students. I mean, even all the way through college and after college. Like Eric was talking about this morning, we all need a mentor. It doesn't matter who we are, who it is. I mean, how many years we've been saved, how many years that we haven't. We all could use mentors in our way, in our own way. And big brothers, big sisters, I mean, that's been talked about. They have that program out there as well. But it's just, envy not the oppressor, the violent or the wicked. Don't envy the wicked for what they got. I mean, this brings out another situation, another rabbit hole, if you'd like. Why does good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people, or why do good things happen to bad people? I mean, it goes either way. It goes both ways, and everybody has a question. That question's on the tip of everyone's tongue, because we can see it each and every day of our lives out there, whether it be family, friends, people we associate with. But bad things do happen to good people, and good things do happen for bad people, it seems like. But you got to keep God's purpose in your mind, for the purpose for your life. You got to search for you search for wisdom. You got to search for His purpose in your life and the lives around you, those you're trying to help, whether it be trying to mentor or anyone else. But if you look at 32, to the end of the chapter, it says, "For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." All the way down through this chapter that you were looking at, like I said, that you can see patterns, just like one. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 3, "Let not my mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them around thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart." 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding." Now, if you look at the opposite part of that pattern, the second half of that pattern, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And always acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." It's cause and effect. I mean, it comes down, like I said, it comes down to our choice. I mean, he's not carrying a baseball bat, or he's not going to wield it over our heads, telling us you got to do this or else. He leaves it to us and the free will that He gave man in the garden. We have a choice, no matter what. And the funny part is about, like I said, about this, as far as patterns-wise goes, in school, I was a lousy, horrible test taker. I mean, we were never told how to take tests. I mean, I could keep an A and B average all the way through until midterms or finals hit, and then all of a sudden, forget it. that midterm and that final is going to, I'm going to drop my average because I just blow out the test because we were never taught how to take tests. The teachers never taught us how to take tests. When I taught the guys in GED, when I got on their GEDs, it's just like word math problems. It's just like word problems in math or anything else. Look for the words to pick out that will help you, or tell you what direction to go, what to do with that problem, what you're going to be doing, how to get the answer. And it helped the guy. The guys were, they loved it because it was just like Eric talking about this morning, a mentor should led you along step by step. We've been through it already. I've been through it. I blew out the test, all the tests I've ever taken because I was a lousy test taker. Midterms, finals, it doesn't make a difference what it was. We weren't taught to study how to study for tests. And that's another one pattern that I'm trying to get out here. You don't need a Bible commentary. You don't need to purchase a Bible commentary, a study guide. You simply ask God for the wisdom and the direction. Seek after it as fine gold and silver. Seek after the wisdom. He's going to show you how. He's going to give you the understanding that you need to help someone else in your life. And that's why I thank God for that. I thank God for the purpose, the platform He gave me, because of my because of my past and everything else. It gave me the platform to talk to these guys and to work with these guys that I did, and to help them understand and motivate them to get them through some issues that we had. We still had issues that came up, and that's life. It's called speed bumps. They're going to happen no matter what, no matter who you're talking to, friends, family, associations, you may talk to. But we're giving them the key, the word keys to life, to figure out how to get the problem done, how to solve the problem. Whenever that key word come up, well, they know what to do. They know where to go. They know how to move. They know what to do. They know what decision to make, and what decision will benefit them in the long run. And it's a satisfying thing to be a teacher, I guess. I would say. I guess that I learned to love, like I said, even English. But it's all pattern. It all comes down to patterns, and it helps us. Even a simple example of something like that, the patterns. Forget the numbers for the verses that you see as the verses are numbered. Look for patterns. I mean, see patterns. There's so many patterns here. Like I said, it sent you back to the armor of God. It sent you to, it taught back to the beginning, how to see patterns. That even Christ, how He established the patterns from the day He created our planet, our Earth, our galaxy, and it's just a constant cycle. They say history repeats itself. It's a constant wheel in time. It just keeps going around and around. But I'm gonna leave you with I don't think it was a quote as much as a statement. But it says, even good wisdom, divorced from God, can become a snare. That, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom out there. I mean, you can give plenty of people wisdom out there, no matter what. I mean, we've been through it with, as far as where we've come in life. We've been through a lot, and I had to watch as much myself, especially dealing with the guys like I have, like those guys there and other folks like that. I have to watch myself, the wisdom that I gave them, because if it was divorced from God, it can become a snare. And snag them up, and snare them, and trip them up, and not do. I mean, it could drive them back into a worse place that you don't want them to be, that they don't need to be. But like I said, it's a good wisdom. It can be good, but if it's divorced from God, if it's not backed, based, godly wisdom, coming out of here from the truth of the Word of God here, it can become a snare, a trap, a speed bump to them. I mean, sometimes it may only be a speed bump, and sometimes it might be a snare that might throw them into a fit of depression that they may not come out of, that they can't get out of, that they lose hope somehow. And there's a lot of folks I've seen that have lost hope, and that's not a pretty thing. But anything, any bit of wisdom that we can offer them, as long as it's godly wisdom that comes from the Bible itself, the truth, the actual truth of the Word of God, it's going to help. Sooner or later, it's going to help. I mean, we got to keep working on them. We got to keep working. There's a lot of situations out there. There's a lot of folks out there that need our help. There's a lot of folks that are in search of the truth, the absolute truth. Like I said, it comes from the Bible here. And there are so many blessings that you can receive from just falling back on the promises that he gives us, just alone, just the promises he gives us here of a long life. Sleep, precious sleep, prolonging life of many years to bring peace and prosperity, winning favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's so many good things that can come out of the Word of God. Satan, like I said, he's doing his best right now because he's losing the battle, and I think he knows his time's growing short, and he's doing his best. And I myself fall prey to that a lot with my with issues of impatience, and anger, and things like that, and lack of compassion for the human, for the human race. And I can say, I say that with not in all shame for myself, because it's a constant battle each and every day that I have to work out, I have to work through, and it's a constant struggle, because there's some folks in this world, there's some that I really have struggles to, I have a struggle to love, to have compassion towards. And it's going to be a constant battle for me, I think, until the day I die. But you can overcome when you, as I ask for wisdom, complete wisdom and direction each and every day, whether it be through studies for myself or studies for here or anything else, it's slowly going away. The anger and the short patience has been slowly going away and deteriorating, but it doesn't take long for it to rear its ugly head again. And I'm not only talking about that impatience, lack of compassion, but just love for our fellow, love for the human race, love for our fellow brothers and sisters out there. Compassion like Christ had, and love like he had for each and every one of us. Because like I said, I mean, I had to keep reminding myself that, for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, I'm just one decision again from going there or going that way or sitting where they're at and everything else. But it's been an eye-opener for me as far as the wisdom and direction for myself. And it's been a great help. But like I said, it's a struggle. It's a constant struggle that we have to deal with each and every day of our lives, because that free will has a tendency to stick its ugly head in there. And so the decision we have is, we have that choice we can make, good or bad, many choices a day, hundreds of choices a day. And it comes down to that. I mean, if we overcome, if we stay in God's word, search for wisdom and direction, just like it says here, is fine gold or silver, like we would dig for, like a miner would dig for fine gold or silver, he's going to give it to us. His promise, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, never give us more than we can bear. There's many promises we can rely on throughout the whole, the pages of history, throughout the Bible itself. And we just looked over some of the promises of well-being, long life, prosperity. I mean, we all would love lives like that. Like I said, to be able to sleep eight hours a night, get up, feel refreshed and ready to take on the day, no matter what day it is, whether it be Mondays or whether it be Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays, or the rest of the week, no matter what we like, even if we don't like the job too well that we're at or doing. Sometimes it goes like that. But it's a constant battle and a struggle for not only for myself and others I know, but keep each other in prayer, if you would, for wisdom and direction for each and every one of us to understand the purposes that we have, that God has for each and every one of our lives. Because we're all here for a purpose. whether some people have find that purpose before they die, whether they don't, it's a blessing if you do, and if you understand that that purpose for your life, or his purpose for your life, before you do. But I'm 46, and I've run the gambit. I haven't followed his purpose for my life, and as of right now, it's a struggle. And you're constantly searching. It's like a wind. It's like a boat tossed out in the waves, on the sea, without a compass or without direction. And it feels sometimes it can throw you into a depressive state of mind. But there is always hope. When you read the pages, when you read through, it doesn't matter if it's Proverbs, James, Romans, Acts. There's always hope. Each and every day, there's always hope. There's always something to hope to latch on to bring us out, to pull us through those times, those dark times, and to give us a direction, to give our lives a direction and a way to go. But I hope that's just whet your appetite just a little bit to maybe do a personal study, whether it be on Proverbs, James itself. It doesn't matter. There are many, many, many books, many chapters full of wisdom for all, to help all. And that's the lesson I have. So if you join me in prayer, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening again, I do thank you for the wisdom that you give, the direction that you give each and everybody, each person, in every life, not only my own, but I thank you for the direction you give and the purpose you give to each and every one of us here, the extended families outside these doors. I pray that you'd help us to use that purpose, to find that purpose if we have it, to seek for that purpose with diligence and wisdom and direction each and every day of our lives until we find it, and then move forward, progress forward with the next step and chapter in our lives. I thank you for all here. I thank you for the safety coming out. I pray for safe traveling mercies as we all go back home and throughout the rest of the week. And I pray for Pastor and Kim as well, and Jeff. Give safe traveling mercies there to all. Give strength, give guidance, give us direction, and please wisdom each and every day as we live for you. In Jesus' name I pray.